Building a Byzantine Fortified City. From a researcher's point of view, if archaeological finds bear tangible witness to aspects of life in Byzantine times, manuscripts represent a distinct, valuable source of knowledge as they preserve a wealth of information on events, historical persons, and their works. Written by scholars or ordinary folk, emperors, ecclesiastical or secular dignitaries, such texts document moments in Byzantine history and culture as it unfolded in the territories of the empire. One of the most interesting categories of surviving texts is made up of strategy manuals, known as tactica or strategica. These are books usually directed at a military readership and contain either theoretical treatises on warfare or advice on military tactics. One such a treatise was written in the 6th century by an army engineer. Among other things, he provides readers with particularly interesting guidelines on the construction of fortifications and siege engines. His name is unknown because it was written on the now lost front page of the original manuscript. Nevertheless, the guidelines he gives to those desiring to build a city are extremely useful and enlightening, thus pointing to an individual with expert knowledge of castle building. The anonymous author Strategikon includes special chapters on building a city which record the criteria laid down for everything to be considered by those intending to build cities. Anyone intending to found a city must first carefully examine the site to see if it is suitable so that the walls to be constructed will be able to withstand a siege. The water should be examined next to find out if it is safe to drink and if there is enough to supply the population of the city, as well as who might be expected to take refuge there in time of danger. If the source of water is outside the walls, the building of the city must be abandoned or a way found for the water bearers to go out, even in the presence of the enemy. Third, one must find out if stone is available, already cut or easily quarried, so that it will not have to be transported a long distance at great risk. One should also find out if lumber has to be brought from far away or over difficult terrain, so that it is quite impracticable to have it at hand for construction. Fourth, one should find out whether the country produces enough food or whether it can be brought in from elsewhere. In like manner, can the citizens find other sources of sustenance there? If all this can be answered affirmatively, go ahead with the construction, but if not, it is best to abandon the project. Continuing his treatise on city construction, the author notes the conditions to be fulfilled by the chosen site. Suitable sites for building a city, especially it is going to be fairly close to the border, are those on high ground with steep slopes all about to make approach difficult. Also suitable are sites with large rivers flowing around them or which can be made to do so and which, because of the nature of the land, cannot easily be diverted. Finally, there are sites on a promontory in the sea or in very large rivers connected to the mainland only by a very narrow isthmus. In such locations, however, the walls must not be built at the water's edge. That makes it easy for enemy ships to come in close, enough to undermine the walls from below or to overthrow them by frontal assault. This is made clear in books on siege craft. The walls should be set back from the water's edge no less than 18 meters. This should prevent the enemy from constructing towers on the ships and employing certain mechanisms to get over onto the wall. Neither should the distance be more than 62 meters. Keeping such an open space works to the advantage of the city and the disadvantage of its attackers. While landing from the ships, they will suffer a very large number of casualties, and only at great risk will they be able to turn about and find refuge in the ships. They will constantly be within range of arrows and of rocks hurled from the walls. I am not unaware that many people look to the present prosperity and believe in increasing it in every way. When they start planning to found large cities, they give no less weight to nice appearance than to security. They have built a number of such cities on level ground and beautified them with gardens, parks, and lawns. But the way I look at it is that the outcome of what is happening these days is uncertain. Security, I think, is more important than a nice appearance. I prefer to have the cities located and fortified in such a way as to render useless the machines of any besiegers. Still, it is quite possible that a city built on a plain may be strong because of the size of the stones used, the method of construction, the general plan also, and other matters of detail, even though it is not favored by rivers, the sea, or cliffs. But it is important that such cities built at a good distance from the border to avoid sudden surprise attacks. Continuing his manual of strategy, our anonymous writer provides advice regarding construction details. As an example, he points out that the walls should be no less than 3 meters thick and over 12.5 meters high, so that they cannot be demolished by battering rams or catapults. At the same time, their height should be sufficient to deter scaling. Among essential features providing the walls with maximum defensive capability, Anonymous lists the construction of battlements and the existence of a forward wall. With regard to the latter, he mentions that among other things, it provides shelter from the ruler population when under attack. In such a case, the forward wall relieves overcrowding in the city while also serving a safe ground where defendants can stand and fight the enemy. It is also particularly useful as space, used for monitoring the state of siege tortoises and battering rams. Finally, Anonymous proposes that a ditch be dug outside the walls. According to his instructions, this should be at least 25 meters long, while the depth should at least reach the wall foundations. Thus, if the enemy wants to destroy the wall by mining, they will easily be discovered and forced to stop when they reach the ditch. The advice provided by the author of the Anonymous Tacticon is highly interesting and in general terms confirms what archaeological evidence has ascertained as being typical of every Byzantine fortified city. The choice of site, the existence of potable water, the availability of building material, and the presence of arable land were key factors in the foundation of a Byzantine city, which almost invariably took the form of a castle built atop a steeply sloped hill. Protecting the settlement inside the fort remained a fundamental objective to be achieved both by the powerful walls and by the steep slopes which rendered the summit of the hill inaccessible. In our anonymous writer's view, the effectiveness of a Byzantine fortified city's defense was the product of many factors relating to the form taken by the walls, the layout and form of the towers, and the existence of a ditch and forward wall. Confronting attacks, demolishing enemy siege engines, and rendering their approach impossible were of key concern. Fortress defense and enemy subterfuges preoccupied all those writing strategic handbooks throughout Byzantine times. Almost five centuries after the anonymous enemy engineer, in the 11th century, a general named Kekavmenos co-authored a similar handbook entitled Strategikon. In this work, Kekavmenos provides a range of practical, official and military advice to a general and to the emperor himself, garnered from his own experience. Making special reference to castle defenses and enemy subterfuges, in the relevant chapter he has the following to say. If you are guarding a fort and you find out that the enemy is coming against you, then prepare as you should to face the war. Repair the walls that have cracks. Shore up those towers that are bastions. Gather small rocks on the walls. Weave ropes. Build double and triple ditches, making them very deep and wide. Dig pits beyond the ditches to make the horses fall in. Set up anti-siege engines and heavy bows on the walls. Make arpeggios, so-called wolf pincers, to defend yourself against battering rams. And if they attack you with a ram, catch it with your arpeggios, having oxen at the ready inside the walls, and once you have yoked them up to the wolf, force them to drag it. If it cannot be dragged, then tie it onto some strong point, so that it is not possible to pull it back. If the enemy wants to undermine the foundations of the walls, then dig in, advance right by the wall, deep down at the point where you recon that the enemy intends to pass in secret, and have brave men, armed as should be, and ready for battle. In that way, when the enemy heads underground to come out from under the foundations, he will unwittingly emerge at the point where you have dug. And as he will emerge, weary from mining, he will fall right into your hands. So, his subterfuge will fail, whereas you will be safe. And if you do things thus, you will be able to cast boulders down on your mine where the enemy emerges, and you will kill him. From the age of Justinian down to the fall of Byzantium to the Ottomans, innumerable fortified cities were built the length and breadth of the empire. To a greater or lesser extent, they followed the guidelines let down in relevant military manuals. From Constantinople, the biggest city in the empire, to the smallest fortified city, the need and concern to protect populations within them led to an enormous variety of fortified works, which surrounded cities and protected their residents. Both the information from written sources and surviving fortifications prove that walls, whether high or low, reinforced by one tower or by many, surrounded by ditches and forward walls, or devoid of them, were the first section of cities to come under attack and be destroyed. For that reason, down the centuries, defensive walls around cities were subject to repeated repairs aimed at keeping them strong and as best protected as possible. Whatever the case, regardless of form, extent and layout, in every period of Byzantine history, without exception, fortified cities were the residential and military centers often called upon to defend the entire empire.